Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there.
Hey Sheila, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm excited to talk today.
Yeah, me too. Been looking forward to it.
Good. So Sheila and I talked about the topic of living and coping with uncertainty, and that's something that we've been thinking through ourselves and thought that our listeners might enjoy some thoughts on that. So Sheila, I'm curious, why is uncertainty top of mind for you right now?
Well, I guess from a lot of what I've been experiencing, probably I would have to go back for the last couple of years dealing with health issues that create a lot of uncertainty. Also dealing with the sudden death of my sister earlier this year, that certainly created an awful lot of uncertainty in me in terms of life, death, the future. And then on a macro level, just the world we live in. Having said all that, we always live with uncertainty on a personal and a global level. But it just seems, I guess I'd have to phrase it, that it feels like it's been punching me in the face lately. What about you?
Well, for me, it's funny. I actually have very little stress about world uncertainty, which is illogical because there's a lot of things to be stressed about. We're recording this as Hurricane Milton rips through the Gulf Coast, and we have major fire danger in Montana because it's October and it's still 80 degrees and it hasn't rained in almost a month. And I should have stress about that stuff, or it would be reasonable, I should say, for me to have stress about that stuff. But I actually have very little stress about stuff that I feel I cannot control. For me, I'm just learning to deal with uncertainty with my new life. So for most of my adult life, I was married. I lived in a town that I had a lot of friends and family and a support system. And there was just a fair amount of certainty in that. And now I'm recently divorced. I'm living in a new place. And the career that was largely my identity for about a decade is in transition. We made our last investment with our merging fund about a year ago, and I still have responsibilities and I still also have a lot of passion for that business. But that frees up a lot of time for me because I'm mostly focusing on managing our portfolio. And so I'm really kind of a blank slate, which feels like a huge luxury, but also brings a lot of uncertainty. And I'm finding that I naturally want to get out of that state of uncertainty rather than just enjoy this time of having a blank slate.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand all those emotions. I guess for me, when I started really thinking about this topic and talking about it, the revelation, which I think I just said a little while ago, came to me that like, we're always living with uncertainty. Like you just mentioned your life when you were married and living in Boulder and then to some extent Vail and, you know, surrounded with a support group and could look ahead and say, yes, I kind of know the way things are going to go, but I don't know that we really can do that. And for the most part, the uncertainty in our lives that really does exist is kind of turned down the volume a little bit. And it's just certain times in our lives, it gets ramped up. And like I just said a little while ago, it kind of punches you in the nose. But as we've seen illustrated by what's happening around the country, climate-wise and around the world, it can switch on a dime, like your whole life, the things that you felt were certain. And I'm not trying to be negative or pessimistic. Actually, I'm almost feeling optimistic about the fact that I'm having the ability to just really let this in and acknowledge it and try to find different ways of coping with it and living with it, as opposed to feeling like I need to get to certainty again. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And another thing that you said made me remember what we both learned, which is when you think you're in control, you are not. And, you know, I had a large tumor that curved my spine. You had some health issues. And that really turned our world upside down when we felt like we were in a period of certainty. And so that has actually provided some solace for me, and knowing that there is actually no way for me to gain control over my future. And what I'm trying to do is embrace uncertainty, because I've felt that uncertainty has opened up a lot of opportunities for me recently. But it feels totally counter to all of my instincts to do that, to allow myself to live in this state of uncertainty.
It sounds like it's counter to your instincts, but it's something that you seem to be enjoying a little bit.
Yeah.
That's probably the wrong word, enjoying. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to the point where when I look at uncertainty, there's an enjoyment level to it. It's more acknowledging it and, as you said, you know, seeing the opportunities in it. Because I think somewhere in my brain, there, you know, there was the acknowledgement, the realization that, you know, that's the way life really is. And knowing that I have the skills or the strength to deal with the uncertainty is a huge help. And I think, you know, you and I have both talked about that, and you kind of just alluded to some of the things you've gone through. And when you go through stuff like that, I think it gives you a little bit of a window into the future, saying things came, I didn't expect them, I dealt with them, and in the future, I think I can do the same thing.
Right.
I hate to say it, because I'm saying how uncertainty exists takes away a little bit of that uncertainty. It maybe turns that volume down a little bit.
Yeah, I think it might be helpful to talk through some of the things that we've been experimenting with and dealing with uncertainty. So for me, I've been trying to pay more attention to the way I'm feeling versus the way I'm thinking as far as which move I should make next. So I've had a lot of decisions to make over the last couple of years, and a lot of my stress has come from trying to determine which decision to make. And 9 times out of 10, I've gotten to the point where every bone in my body was telling me, you should make this decision. And it takes a while sometimes to get to that point. And so just allowing myself to trust that I will get to that point and that it'll be clear and that I'll have that feeling has released a lot of stress for me. And I think also allowing myself to trust that my gut will speak a little bit louder than my mind has also helped as well, because, you know, I spend a lot of time analyzing logically how I should make a decision. And then I get to the point where I just sort of feel that I know the right decision. And I think that there's some benefit in that, you know, especially if you're making financial decisions and career decisions and things like that, there's benefit in logically analyzing it. So the thing that I've been trying to do is just giving myself a time limit to say, okay, today you are going to spend 1 hour thinking through the logical pluses and minuses of this decision, write it down, and then you're not going to think about it again. And you're going to wait until you just have that feeling of what you should do next. And so far, so good. I'm not sure that that's going to work every time, but it has been working pretty consistently for me.
And I think you're right. It probably doesn't work every time because sometimes there are other factors and people involved and decisions have to be made ASAP. Going with the gut can't always work in those situations if the gut's not showing itself yet. As you were talking, I'm thinking about, I think I'm probably doing something similar, but I probably would categorize it differently. I think I'm taking a break completely from feeling like I have to do any decision making. You know, and not to say there aren't situations that come up on a regular basis where, yes, there's some decisions that have to be made, but it's not the overall decision that I used to kind of live with, like, oh my God. Like, for example, my lease goes till about the middle of next year. I know I'm probably going to relocate somewhere and I have no idea where. And in the past, I'd be like, all right, it's October. You got to make this decision before July. Start thinking about it, start planning it. And at this point, I'm saying, you can give it a little more time, you know, similar to what you said you're doing. You don't have to start checking all the boxes on what would work and what wouldn't work. Because when I do that, when I've done it in the past, I tend to go a little bit too much on the end of the spectrum where I call it catastrophizing. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to make that decision, but what if, what if, what if? And then I spend a lot of time trying to figure out, well, I'll address all the what ifs. And it's essentially just this whirling dervish in my head that has nothing to do with really what could happen. Because like I just said, it's in my head. It's all in my head. It's not happening around me. Mm. And so essentially, it's been nice to feel like I have that option right now to take a little bit of a break from looking ahead and thinking, all right, you know, what do you need to do about the move? What do you need to do in terms of assuring that you're going to maintain your health? Not that I'm not trying to maintain my health, but just, I guess I would, again, repeat myself. I'm turning the volume down on it a little bit for now. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the way I'm coping.
We've talked a lot about catastrophizing and doom scrolling. Mm-hmm. Have you done anything that you felt has made a positive impact on improving your willpower to prevent yourself from doom scrolling?
I guess I'm scrolling, and maybe I'm trying more to identify the pieces that I'm looking at that have more doom and gloom in them and then avoid those.
Okay.
And seek out the more positive things that I can kind of feed my brain with. Like one of the things that I've found myself doing, and of course, once I started doing it on Facebook and you click on things, then they just send you more and more and more, which is wonderful. It's a site, I think Dodo is the name of it, I'm not sure, where essentially every day I can look at a story of a dog who's been abandoned, who is like skeletal. And it's the same thing over and over, but it's true. I mean, it's a true story. They film it, and this dog goes from in 3 minutes, not in 3 minutes real time, goes from, you know, oh my God, the most scared looking animal. And at the end, they're bounding around their new home. And these are all true. I mean, they're not made up. I know they're not, because you can, you know, this is what happens. There's great people out there that rescue animals and find them homes. And that just, it lifts my spirits every day to see something like that, because it's just a little spot of, yes, that was a pretty big problem. And then it got solved. And then, okay, now I can go on and look at, you know, the threat of World War III and what's going to happen in November with the election, and what's the next weather event that they're telling us is going to be the biggest event of the century. And, you know, take it with a little more of a grain of salt, I guess.
Yeah. For me, I like to say reasonably informed, and there's a fine balance with being informed and becoming disillusioned because you're too informed, especially with our current news. And so for me, I just have made it a routine that I watch a half an hour of news while I'm checking mindless emails and trying to sort of wake myself up in the morning. I used to look at my phone when I first woke up, and my practice was to do two things. I would look through my email and find the three top priority things that I was going to deal with for the morning, and then try to only focus on those things, which actually, I think that was a good practice. And I do like that process, but I no longer do that first thing in the morning, because I've decided that it's better for me to actually wake up without looking at my phone. So I set my alarm on my phone, and then I shut it off with Siri, so I don't even have to pull up my phone and see some news headline or anything. So I've started just shutting off my alarm with Siri and then leaving my phone by my bedside as I start my breakfast, and just kind of allow my mind to wake up a bit. And then when I'm feeling like I'm up and I'm in a good place, I sit and watch a half an hour of news while I check some mindless emails and do the thing that I did before to find those three priority things that I want to deal with for the day. And for some reason, that shift from looking at news right when I wake up to just waiting a while has made a big difference for me, because it allows me to be more grounded when I'm in the place that I'm listening to the news. And then I have unsubscribed to all of my news feeds. And so the only time that I look at news is during the day when I'm feeling like I'm hitting a low energy level and just kind of need a break. I will pull up the news on my phone and try not to do it at any other time. I get to a point at night when I'm feeling just really low energy level, and I like to do mindless email stuff then. And I used to look at news, and then I would have trouble falling asleep because I was horrified by some of the stuff that I was seeing.
Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. I can identify with it. I think, you know, I applaud you. It takes some discipline to have a shift like that, because I know I have made that promise to myself, because I have my phone right next to my bed and I wake up and first thing you reach for, and I can't say I am disciplined enough not to go to the news feed to see what happened. I think one of my methods of coping with it is having a little bit of a mind shift in, like, using that grain of salt. Like, I read no matter what, and, you know, it's all different kinds of news feeds and sources of news, and I read them, but I say, you know, I'm not going to take this as gospel. It's not an opinion. It's not a viewpoint. I'm talking about what's supposed to be just a straight news story. But I feel as if nothing's just a straight news story anymore. And so it almost placates a little bit of that anxiety when I can say to myself, all right, you know, I'm acknowledging they got my click. They put that headline out there and, you know, the lead, the first paragraph, the first two paragraphs are designed to hook me and get me in here. And the way I think that our world has gone for a very long time is it has to be kind of negative to get that attention.
Yeah.
And just switching things in my head, having that mindset that, you know, they wanted to hook me. So don't go too far in terms of being hooked. So I guess that's a coping mechanism I've developed when, as you asked, you know, doom scrolling. If I can't eliminate doom scrolling, I guess I look at it with a different eye.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And then what about embracing uncertainty and other aspects of life? Have you done anything that you feel is working in that area?
Well, personally, again, I brought up, I do have that tendency to catastrophize, and saying it out loud, recognizing it, talking to people about it has created, again, another shift. When I feel myself going in that direction, I kind of stop and I don't push it away. I don't embrace it full throttle, big hug. Okay, let me go down that road and see all the bad things that could happen. I just kind of say to myself, you're doing it. You're in a catastrophizing moment. So as you probably have said in this already, you know, a few minutes ago, I'll sit with it. I'll sit with it, see how it feels. And I think that's kind of made a change in a lot of stuff, especially like health issues. Instead of just going off completely when something, you know, hits me, oh no, this might be something that you're going to have to deal with. I don't push it away and say, well, don't deal with it. I don't go the other direction like I used to, like, okay, now let me have this completely consume my thoughts for the next 48 hours. It's kind of like somewhere in the middle. I'm aiming to get somewhere in the middle.
Is there one specific thing in your life that's causing uncertainty for you that you find yourself thinking about a lot?
Well, I mean, I've had to think about my health a lot over the past couple of years. And more recently, COVID finally got a hold of me and it was not pretty. And it really impacted not just on my psyche, it impacted on the way I had to live every day. I mean, it just weakened me a lot physically in a way that I had not been used to really ever. I mean, just the toll it took in terms of like my appetite, sleeping, all of that, my weight dropped. And just having to deal with that, the uncertainty of like putting my clothes on and going, oh, they don't fit the same as they used to. And I pretty much maintained the same weight for all of my adult life, except for the three pregnancies I had. And so that was something, yeah, that's front and center. I'm working on that. And I mean, that has to be worked on. And I'm working on that along with the help of two gentlemen called Ben and Jerry's. and good stuff too, you know, nutritious things, but being able to embrace good old Ben and Jerry whenever I feel like it for now to get me back to a kind of a fighting weight, that's kind of been a fun part.
Yeah, you have to enjoy the opportunities that some of these things open up for you.
Right, the silver linings. And again, I know ice cream and all of the sugar and whatever is not the best for you. So I'm putting it out there that I indulge, but I'm still not overindulging.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
For me, I would say the specific thing that comes to mind is that I have less control over my social plans than I used to. So this might sound like a small thing, but when I was with my ex-husband for 20 years, we were pretty in sync on what we would want to do when. And he often deferred to me on planning. And so I always knew what I was going to do over the weekend and when we were going to do what. And I always also knew that if I changed my mind, that my ex-husband is one of the most easygoing people that I've ever met, and that he would just sort of roll with it if I changed my mind. And I don't have that anymore. And so, one, I rarely know in advance what I'm going to do over the weekend or on certain weeknights. And two, with dipping my toes in the water with dating, I'm never sure if somebody's actually going to return my text or if they're going to want to do something that I want to do. And I'm finding that just very unsettling. And so I'm tired of wasting a lot of energy on that. So what I've been trying to do is just allowing myself to believe that if it doesn't work out the way that I think I want it to, like tomorrow, for instance, I really want to go hiking. It's going to be a beautiful day. And the people that I typically hike with are really up in the air about whether they can do it. And so I don't know if they're going to be able to hike or not tomorrow. And that is unsettling to me. So I'm just allowing myself to trust that it'll work out the way that it's supposed to. And we'll see what happens. There's quite a bit of relief in just allowing myself to relinquish that need for certainty and that need for control.
Right. As you were talking, I was trying to figure it out because I guess it sounds like it's like relationship uncertainty. Relationship with, is somebody, a friend, going to go along with what you want, or, you know, somebody that you might be dating, et cetera. Whereas for me, you know, as you were talking and you said, I want to go hiking tomorrow and I don't know if any of these people, in my head, I'm thinking, my perspective, I just do everything by myself these days. So when you were talking about now you have a lot of uncertainty, you kind of cleared it up as you explained a little further that it sounds like it's involving when you actually want to have company and you want to bring somebody else into what you're doing, as opposed to you want to do something and you don't know if you can do it. Like, you can do whatever you want, it sounds like, but you might have to do it alone.
Right. Except the challenge with hiking alone in grizzly country is that you really cannot do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then that brings a whole nother piece that I'm not too sure I have something like that in Maryland.
Yeah, probably not. I mean,
I see a lot of ducks and geese where I live, but not too many grizzly bears.
I mean, in fairness, I could hike alone. It's just probably not wise for me to do such.
Oh no. I even remember the days back in Boulder in the foothills, you know. I mean, I think the danger was like, am I wrong in this? Like mountain lions, coyotes maybe, but there's an occasional bear.
Yeah, there is an occasional bear even in Boulder.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had a bear moment. I would say about 8 years ago, visiting somebody where a bear tried to break into the house I was staying at as I was on the couch trying to sleep. He, you know, I looked in the window and it was like, I think that's a bear. So I do understand the whole bears can be unpredictable thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that might be a good metaphor for us to end on, actually. Just like bears.
Yeah, bears, go ahead. What, you give us the saying. Go ahead.
Well, just like bears, life is unpredictable, and even when you think you are in control, you are not. And so rather than running yourself ragged to try to gain control and gain certainty, allow yourself to see the opportunities that uncertainty presents and to make decisions based on how you feel rather than what you logically think you should do, especially when you are planning things in advance and cannot predict how you are going to logically feel in that moment when it actually arises.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good summary. And, you know, on a macro level with the stuff in the world, it's essentially, it exists, it's out there. The uncertainty is never going to go away. So if you can develop mechanisms for turning the volume down when you need to, that's kind of what I'd recommend. And that's what I'm trying to do.
I concur. Well, I'm not sure when we'll do this next time, but I have a feeling that we'll know when it's right.
Of course, it's always uncertain. I love it. That was a good way to end. Okay. Good talking to you, Elizabeth.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.